Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. It says this, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Can I just point something out to us? It's not just a matter of forsaking. Sorry, it's not just a matter of confessing. But there's the other side of forsaking. You see, it's not enough. Remorse means I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. Judas, for example, was remorseful, right? He went out and wept. But as far as we know, Judas never repented. Peter, on the other hand, we find that Peter, not only was he remorseful, but he repented. There's a difference between, I'm sorry I got caught, and I'm sorry I did this. I did it. It's me. And there's a difference between the two. And when I confess and I say, you know what, I'm sorry I did this, it's a matter of agreeing with God. Confession is seeing it from God's point of view and saying, yes, it's wrong, but now what I want to do is I forsake it. And that's true repentance. True repentance means I agree with God that God's declaration on this matter, this is what it says. And I agree with it. And now I'm turning away from that sin and I'm turning back to God. That's repentance. We need to see the difference between remorse and repentance. Much could be said about this, but it's a matter of forsaking the consequences of David's sin. You know, when we confess our sin, we might be living in sin and we confess that sin, but that doesn't make the consequences go away. David committed adultery. He committed murder. He tried to cover them both up. What do we find? The consequences, Uriah was dead and a baby was on its way. Those are the consequences. And consequences are real. And only because, and we need to think about this before we find ourselves in sin. Yes, you know, I remember a man, he was supposed to be a servant of the Lord. And I remember him saying once, and I confronted him on this issue because he said this to a young lady. And she told me, and I went to him and asked him, did you say this? He denied it at first, but later confessed it. And he said this to her. You know what? We can sin tonight. The great thing about being a Christian is we could sin tonight and confess it in the morning. How sad that is. That's not what Scripture teaches. That's not Christianity. But what Scripture does teach, what we have this, is that there are permanent consequences of sin. And true confession doesn't make the consequences go away. In fact, we have these verses. We have this idea of the permanent consequences, and we find it in 2 Samuel again, in chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. We find this going back there in chapter 10. Chapter 12, verse 10. We find these permanent consequences that are indeed there. And look down at verse 14 and 15. We've already read them. But just looking at them again. And Nathan said, the Lord has put away your sin and you shall not die. However, verse 14, however, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. And Nathan departed from the house. So the consequences is, the first consequence is that the baby would die. The second consequence is, as we've already said, the next son, Shimei, his name means rumor, The next son, his name means rebellion. And on we could see. We could look at the fact that another one of, in David's realm, another one of, in David's household, Amnon. And we know the story of Amnon in 2 Samuel chapter 13. On a tremendous, terrible story there. And Amnon was affected by David's failure. Another one is Absalom, and Absalom was affected by David's failure. And you could search the history of Absalom. We don't have time to go into it. There's another one, Adonijah. He was affected by this in David's life. And on we could go. How one sin affects everyone. And what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter, we can move on there. Amen. And Ahithophel was another one. I don't have it on the, in the notes, but Ahithophel was another one. And Joab as well. Let's just go back to that for a minute. There's an important point there. Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba, who becomes bitter, and he ends up ending his own life. And then Joab. And I mentioned this earlier, but Joab knew about this whole thing. And Joab uses this against David in David's life. So you see, all the different ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if you count the baby. All these people affected. Because then the next frame that we have is that these consequences go public. You see, we might, what we do in private becomes public. In Numbers chapter 32, he says this. He says, be sure that your sin will find you out. You cannot hide your sin. And my wife always prays. My poor kids. My wife always prays. Lord, whatever is done in the dark, may it be revealed in the light. I say more poor kids, but not really. I think that's a tremendous thing. Whatever is done in the dark, may it be revealed in the light. You see, be sure your sins will find you out. You can't hide a sin from God. There's painful consequences, and we've already referenced them. And whatever we sow, the Bible says, whatever we sow, that shall we also reap. And when we think about this, we need to understand that if we sow good things for the glory of God, we reap those things because he's no man's debtor. But if we sow to the flesh, we reap according to the flesh. And so it is with David. And then the last little thing here is that there were profound consequences in David's life. And we'll go on to the next slide. One thing I really want to underline, that, and I don't know where everyone is in your walk with the Lord, in your relationship with the Lord, but what I need you to understand is that failure is never final. Failure is never final. With God's grace and God's mercy and God's love toward you, that failure is never final. Don't think because you failed that you're out. Because God is able to restore. God is able to refresh. God is able to revigor. God is able to raise up those dry bones. God is able to put vitality in your spiritual life again. How wonderful. So we have this. The devil knows your name. And I love this. The devil knows your name and calls you by your sin. And we've already stated that the devil knows exactly what bait to put on the hook for you. So the devil knows your name and he calls you by your sin. But isn't it wonderful to know that God knows your sin, but calls you by your name?